Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Transpost podcast. I am your hostess, or, well, one of them, Stephanie Bree. And I'm here, so you're not getting all scared. Robin is back.
That's right. I'm back.
And I wanted to start off by saying happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes, that's right. Now, of course, everybody who listens to this on Tuesday is going to be a day late. But, yeah, okay, we recorded the day of my birthday.
Yep.
Not the actual broadcast is my birthday. Anyway, yeah, whatever. Cause we're celebrating it the whole week.
It's podcast time travel, and I love it.
It is kind of fun, isn't it?
Okay, so anyways, last week was a little bit of a rough show, so I'm going to hand it back over to Robin, and she's going to tell everybody what's going on and, you know, kind of catch us up. But, you know, it's your show, so tell them who's going on.
Thank you. First off, Steph, you did a good job. You did a good job. I had a couple people just say one little thing about the show, and the issue was, you're not me. That I'm being dead serious here, folks. Okay. That was the only complaint was, well, Stephanie's good, but she's not Robin. And so, you know what? We've got some new equipment, so we're going to be playing with some stuff, but yeah.
We're professional now.
That's right. I'm going to start off by saying, I'm back, baby.
Yay.
That is the worst canned applause we could have ever afforded.
We'll fix it. I'll fix it. I got audio capabilities.
Anyway, I want to thank everybody. I've got to start this show with a couple of things that they're very important, and we really need to talk about it. Like I said, thank you, Stephanie, for taking the reins last week. I thought you did great. A lot of people did great. I got a lot of feedback off Twitter. Said you did great. Second, I want to apologize to everybody, the listeners, fans, Twitter followers. I haven't been very active. And I'm sorry I was not here last week. I'm also very sorry for the past few shows. If you listen to them, it didn't sound like me at all. It really didn't. They sound forced, and it sounded like my heart wasn't in it. And that's the truth is, my heart wasn't. I have a lot of explaining to do, so be patient. This is probably going to take a few minutes. I know Stephanie didn't want me to take a whole lot of time, but...
Sure, sure. Well, it's our show, but go for it.
So, 3 weeks ago, I was given a bad medical diagnosis. I'm a type 1 diabetic. And for many years, I didn't take care of myself. There were things I was told by the doctors that were going to happen, and a lot of them I just kind of ignored. But now the consequences are actually, you know, they're catching up with me. And this is hard to say, but I am officially losing my eyesight. And I mean, we're on the path to blackout blind. And it's a very scary thing. Now, I've been in a state of depression because of it. That's been so bad. I can't even explain how bad it is. Now, take all your depressions for gender dysphoria and everything else that you're going through. And just, you know, multiply that by 100. And that's basically what I felt like. And then my eyesight loss is progressing a lot faster than any of us, doctors, myself, loved ones, even had any idea. I was stuck in a state of mourning, really, for a lot of things that I won't be able to do. You know, number one, like my photography. Anybody who knows me knows how important that is to me and how big of a thing that is for my state of mind. If I'm having just the world's shittiest day, somebody puts my camera in my hands and I take a few images, it's good. I'm good to go. I really am. But it's still been...
And I want to add, like, I know how important the photography is to Robin, because that's how we met. And I'm going to tell you right now, the pictures she took are amazing. She is a great photographer. That was hard for me to hear.
It's hard that my creativity, that's one of my outlets. So that really affected a lot of things. Something else I really was affected by that I wasn't expecting was, you know, not being able to see my nieces and nephews physically grow up. Now, they're still going to be parts of my life, and Aunt Robin's still always going to be there. But not being able to see each milestone, physically see it, is going to be hard. Now, I've come to terms with it, and I'm okay with it. The depression really took away some things that affect this show directly. I lost my charisma. I lost my confidence. I lost my mojo. And I lost my creativity. And I mean, I lost these things, folks. They're bad.
I mean, I was there. I saw it. I had to step back because my positivity was too much. I wasn't able to lift her up. And I'm just saying, as a friend, it breaks my heart to see you go through this.
And I'm very thankful to have you to help me with this. And a lot of people have stepped up. And, you know, while I've come to terms with it, I know that going blind is not going to be the end of my life. That's not, I don't have to sit at home in the dark and wait for people to do things for me. I'm still going to be able to do this podcast. I'm still going to be able to do different things and go out. Yeah, maybe I can't go to the museum and see the dinosaur bones, but I've seen
them. Touch them.
Well, I mean, if we've got a big enough fan base, maybe they will let up. They go, "Hey, we know who you are. Sure, you can touch the T-Rex."
It's called sleight of hand, girl.
So, but it wasn't until a few days ago that the things I needed for this show started to come back to me. And the first person I have to thank for all that is Stephanie. She has constantly, almost, and I say this lovingly, Steph, almost to the point of annoyance, been pushing on this show, how to make it better, what we can do to continue to grow our audience. And for all of those things that she's did, all the things she's done, that helped get my creativity back. So I've got my creativity back. You know, she's always coming at me with some new ideas. And now I can look at everything with my head, with my creativity back, my head kind of clear as it can be. I heard you, William. I can look at everything that she brings to the table with a little bit of enthusiasm. So thank you, sister. I appreciate that. I got my mojo back, and Dang. We can all know who to thank for that. Two letters. That's that's the love of my life, AJ. She really has really stepped up and helped me feel like my real self. And as she told me in a CVS the other day, yeah, you might go blind, but damn, you're gonna have some sexy eyes. Well, shit, I don't think
your eyes ain't as blue as mine.
They're not, but still.
That's my only good quality.
But yeah. But she's also made me feel special again, and made me feel that I'm worth something, that I matter. And I'm really thankful to her. So of course that gives me back my outlook on the things that AJ gives me, which is, you know, love, relationships, and of course my three favorite letters in the whole freaking English language.
Food? No.
That's four letters.
I can't count.
Everybody else knows what those three letters are. So, which means, yes, Mama got her inappropriateness back. So, yes. The last two things I lost, I had to do by myself. And while I had Stephanie and my family Which Stephanie is definitely a part of the family. I don't know why I separate her from that, because she's sitting across the table here from me and is the
most
partner in
one.
Crime.
No,
yeah. Well, as far as this show is concerned, yes.
There you go.
I mean, but I had a lot of support, and that helped me get my confidence back. But there was something else that helped me get that confidence back. I had to remember who I was. I'm not defined by what I can see. I'm defined by who I am. Okay? And I boosted my own confidence by thinking to myself, what the hell are you doing? Why are you moping around for 3 damn weeks when it's clearly not the end of the world? You know, and I had to tell myself over and over and over that I can keep doing this. And not only can I keep doing this, check it, I got the confidence back, but I am the best at it. Hashtag world's greatest podcaster. I don't say that because we ended up in some ranking. Are we in any ranking stuff?
Well, I mean, in my mind.
Well, in our minds, yes. I don't say that because we won any sort of awards or we've had any praise. I mean, thank you, fans who have given us praise. We love that. But we're the best because we say we are. And that's very important, and that's something I wanted to make sure that the rest of our community understands. That we are as good as we say we are. So why am I going to let something like that get me down? Yeah, it's a big deal, and it's hard to climb out, but I got over it. It's going to be okay. So I want everybody to know how grateful I am for all the support. And I'm sure once we hit Twitter with all this, after this episode airs, we're going to get a whole ton more. But thank you, everybody, for giving me the time I needed, for giving me your patience, for giving me the space. The show from this point on is going to get infinitely better. Mm-hmm. Because I'm back. I am ready to roll. I've got my confidence, my charisma, my mojo. I got it all, baby.
And most importantly, we got a lava lamp.
And we got a lava lamp.
Bring us good luck.
So, that's right. So.
No, but really, for reals, I do want to add that not only has she got her, I watched it, people. She went through a rough week. Rough couple of weeks, like she's saying. But,
yeah
we're definitely, we had a good talk. And we're both, I think we're both on the same page. We really believe in this podcast now. I think we always did, but we really have our shit together, if you want to get it.
Absolutely. We're even talking on actual freaking studio quality equipment.
Yep. We put some money into it.
Absolutely.
Got some help, but it's
absolutely.
Okay.
And before anybody asks, yes, I did almost freak out about the treatments, because the treatments for my issue is injections into the eyeball. Mm-hmm. But I made a lot of promises, including to Stephanie and to AJ and to a few others, William, that I would keep the process going. I even made it to you, Eric. I know you're listening. I'm going to keep the treatments. I'm cautious on it. I'm not going to say I'm optimistic, but I accept it. So, Mama's back in the saddle, baby. I'm back. So what do you say, Steph? Why don't we rock and roll?
Yeah, you want to go?
How about we get some cheers going in here first? How about
sure.
that? So, yeah.
Oh, do the baby voice. Let me do the baby voice.
All right, just for a minute. Hang on.
This is my favorite thing that we got from this new toy. Okay, that's good.
Oh, dear Lord. And all those little buttons I push, they're going to show up in that damn edit.
That's okay.
That's okay. We got a brand new toy that gives us all kinds of fun stuff. So let's jump in, shall we?
Yes, please.
Let's get to this podcasting train wreck? No, it's not a train wreck anymore. Damn it. So today, let's get jumping right in, and we're going to talk about reconciling old lives and new lives. So, and this is pre-transition, post-transition lives.
Yes.
So why don't you start us off, Steph?
Sure, why not? Okay, so one thing that happens with a lot of trans people, and I went through this, and Robin, she's kind of doing her own thing. We had some disagreements on some of this stuff, which I'm sure she'll correct me or, you know, remind me of her position.
Of course.
But the thing is, a lot of trans people like to do, and I want to explain my position, or at least my mentality on this, because a lot of people have this sort of, it's not necessarily like a cutoff, but it feels like a cutoff, which I had, two weeks ago, I celebrated my trans day, my rebirth day, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And it's basically your old life versus your new life. It's pre-trans and then post-trans, or, you know, whatever. That's not, I mean, whatever. And so a lot of trans people, what we end up doing is we start to look at the things from our old lives, from our childhood or whatever. And we start to decide, do I really like that because it's a thing I really liked? Or was it something that was in my life just as a cover and it's part of my old life and I want to get rid of it? Some of it, you know, and for me, I had to evaluate. I'm reevaluating everything on a piece-by-piece basis because nostalgia is a very powerful drug. And I'm trying to separate nostalgia from, well, there are things that I did enjoy when I was a kid, but I have to ask myself, I have to look back into my memories and I have to look back. And this is just something I do. A lot of trans people do this, but I want to look back into things and see, why did I start liking that in the first, or where was it one of those things that I was into it, or it was one of those things that I flipped over to this channel to watch this show so no one would catch me watching that other show on that other channel. You know, those kinds of things. So, because I can tell you right now, there are some things that I was very vocal up front. I'm Robin knows this. I'm big, huge Rainbow Bright dork. Love my Rainbow Bright.
Huge Rainbow Bright.
And so I was, that one was borderline traumatic for me, where my sisters had Rainbow Bright dolls and I did not. So I've told this story. I don't know if I told it on the podcast or not, but I know I told it to Robin. But basically, I had action figures, but I didn't play with them as good guys versus bad guys going to war. My action figures when I was growing up were dolls, and I played with them as if they were Barbies. You know, going to work, we played house, we played farm, we played office, whatever, that kind of those kinds of things. And so, for me, there is still that mixture of, I had, you know, He-Man toys, Ninja Turtles toys, whatever, from my childhood, but I'm trying to separate the ones that are, I not necessarily identify as masculine, but the ones that I used as a part of that mask. And I want to either purge myself of or realign, reconfigure them. Sense.
Well, that does make a lot of sense, and I have to agree with you that I am an anomaly when it comes to the transgender community in so many ways right now. Nothing for me has been normal, or when I say normal, I mean typical of transgender individuals. And I think what you're going through, a lot of trans individuals do. Me, not so much. You know, I like to keep reminding
Robin that every one of us is different.
That's right. Results are not typical. I wonder sometimes, because I do see a lot of this on Twitter, or I talk to somebody and they are very quick to separate their lives. It's like it's a very clear divide. And sometimes it feels like the stuff that they're doing is, they've separated their life, but they're putting away things now, like you've done with the Transformers and Star Wars. Just because you're going through transition does not mean you cannot like those things. And you still do. I know. I've seen the collections. So.
And for all my talk about how much I hate Masters of the Universe, I have a Macho Man Randy Savage Masters of the Universe WWE doll.
Uh-huh.
And it is as boy as you can get.
It is, but at the same time, I think it's something that most trans individuals do, and they just want to go anything, if you're going male to female, anything masculine I need to get rid of. You know, if you're going the other way, anything feminine I need to get, I cannot do it. I need to get rid of it. And they like those things. You know, I know some pretty macho guys who actually like The Notebook. There's nothing saying they're not allowed to like The Notebook. I'm not going to make fun of anybody for that.
And if she she doesn't like The Notebook, we're not friends anymore.
Well, I mean,
I know you don't like 10 Things I Hate About You.
I don't.
Get over it.
I don't like it because of the emotional state it puts me in.
You're supposed to cry every once in a while.
I cry too much.
It's cathartic.
But I also know, like myself,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of other people who are, you know, pretty girly people. I mean, they're like me. Makeup, jewelry, the whole nine yards. One of their favorite movies is Predator. If you like the Predator, go for it. That's why I'm never going to walk into a forest or
well,
or
you know, alone. Predator can be seen as a trans allegory if you want to go there.
Ooh, we're going to have to explore that later.
One of these days. I'm one of those girls. I can turn everything into a trans allegory if you let me.
I think you can. So I think in a lot of ways, we need to walk a line, and we need to be very careful that we're not throwing away stuff to throw it away because we, as an individual, define it as masculine or feminine. Because, like you've said some things that you feel X, Y, and Z were masculine. Mm-hmm. I don't see them that way. I see them very neutral. And I know we've had several conversations, just not on the air, of this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm sure there are stuff that I think X, Y, and Z are masculine or feminine that you don't. And I think the trans community, we need to be accepting that we don't need to throw everything away.
And one of the things about being trans, and I'm not going to use the word gender critical because I know the connotation, but I know when you're gender non-conforming, as trans people are.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that motivates us in the first place is busting gender stereotypes. Saying that doesn't have to be for boys or for girls. You know, I can like G.I. Joe and Barbie equally. In fact, my Barbie doll had a wedding to a G.I. Joe doll.
Well, I mean, I can't say I'd blame her. Well, no, never mind.
Actually, it wasn't a G.I. Joe doll. It was a Duke. Let's be real. He's the only G.I. Joe that matters.
Which Duke?
I don't know. The 12-inch one. The one that's the same 12
size. 12-inch.
The one that's the same height as a Barbie doll.
God, I hope he's 12 inches.
Technically 11 and a half, but I didn't measure.
semantics there. Either way, it's all good, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, I told you, I'm back.
Okay. But I agree. Like, there's, you know, and you know, I had sisters and I had cousins who are all women and a lot of females. And there's a lot of, you know, like, I have one sister who's into a lot of the same sci-fi and horror stuff that I am. I don't see Freddy Krueger as masculine or feminine. You can see it as...
Just a creepazoid.
No. You can see it as a sexual predator who's preying on children in their sleep. Or you can see it as a feminist story about a young girl surviving the sexual predator and destroying him at the end of the movie and being empowered. There's lots of things you can see. There's other ways to interpret it, but that's true with any movie. You can twist anything. You have to find your own, I wouldn't say twist. I say you just got to find your own meaning in things.
Interpretation.
There you go.
That's a good word for it. Interpretation. I also think that, you know, when we transition, something that's very important to the community is we need to really look at each memory deeper than we do as far as masculine, feminine. Or this was something I did as a guy. Now I'm a girl. I don't want to do those things anymore. Because I fear a lot of people throw away memories that are still positive.
I think maybe for some other trans people, this might be the case too. And I think for me also, that's a component of it. It's the, you know, that was my old life or whatever. There's also, it's still painful to be separated from your family and to be told that you're dead to them and that you don't exist anymore. And
But not so everybody's gone through that.
No, but
too.
I'm saying like those who do, that's another component to it. So, like I said, for me especially, there are some things where maybe it isn't, it's from my masculine life or whatever. It's just, you know, it's something I did with my sisters or from my child or something I did with one of my nieces or nephews. So there's layers there too. But I think like a lot of it, but getting down to it, I think what it really comes down to is you don't have to bury your memories to hide, to heal from them, you know.
I think it's the exact opposite. I think you need to have them to heal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, you have, sometimes we get scared of, we do a lot of crying, trans women.
A lot of crying.
And so sometimes you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you know you're going to make yourself cry.
That's very true.
So I think there's some of that to it as well.
That's true. I think there is, I just do believe that we need to not be so quick to throw things away.
Cleaning my room the other day, and I came across a handmade Easter card my niece Ava wrote me 2 years ago. Now, even though I'm not going to say the name, it had Uncle Dead Name on it, and I cried because she's not going to get to have an aunt, Stephanie. Well, she will, but she won't know.
It'll just take time.
And it just hit me all of a sudden. But I'm not going to throw that note away.
No, and you shouldn't, because of the memory, the positive memory, yeah, the positive impact that you had with your niece. I mean, let's face it. She's always going to be your niece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if she's grows up and ends up being like you and I and being transgender, well, that doesn't make it. She won't be your niece, she'll be your nephew, but still,
or whatever
she
wants to be.
She's still going to be your loved one. And
right,
that makes that memory, even though it's hard because, you know, dead named, it's still, I think it's one of those that is something to hold on to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think about things like my life, my first time, I guess I could call it transitioning, you know, and I've told some stories. Some people know about the dark thing that happened, the bad thing that happened. And when it came down to it, I kind of did the same thing where I tried to split what I was into masculine and feminine and hide anything that was remotely feminine. And of course that led to a lot of bad shit. But now, I mean, now I look back at the time that I would have just thrown away, and while the negative thing is still very bad, all those other memories of the time I had with a person before then, they actually bring me a little joy, because I can look back on some of those things fondly, and I'm always afraid that the trans community, because we see it, always seems to wants to split it. But, you know, like we said, results may vary. So, let's move on to another topic.
What
can you
this?
Hear that in a mic?
Oh, no. She's got fancy paper holder thingy-ma-jigger.
I do, because we ain't running a dog and pony show no more, girl.
I wrote my notes on a napkin. And then I blew my nose. Oops.
Oh no, it's a blimp. Oh wait, I'm sorry. Hot shot. Anyway, let's talk about a lighter topic.
Yes, fun topic.
This
I
is
hope.
One. Let's hope so. First time shopping for feminine clothing. Now I understand there's our female to male counterparts, are the rest of our LGBTQ listeners, and a lot of our allies. You're going to feel a little bitty left out on this one, because this is for us girls, us trans girls.
And partially also because, let's be real, female to male, you have a lot easier time because there's, I mean, it's socially acceptable for girls to wear guys' clothing.
Yeah.
It is not socially acceptable for men to wear women's clothing.
No.
Unless you're drag or in certain situations. But it's still a, it's still kind of a taboo for men to shop for girls' clothing.
Yes, unless it's for your girlfriend or your wife mm-hmm. or whatever dumbass reason you have to have.
So for that, we're talking to the trans girls out
there.
We're
talking to our trans girls out here. I just want to talk a little bit about my experience getting to the point where I am now, where I can actually go out and shopping for things like clothes by myself. I don't like to go by myself. Okay, that I really don't. Because to me, shopping for clothes, I guess it just happens to be the time. I mean, you and I are not that far off in age. So we look at things from what I call the mall perspective, where you went out and you hung out with your friends, and shopping was a social event. Now, I mean,
well, it was a sport, and I was damn good at it.
It was a sport. Now, I mean, we're saying, you know, with COVID and everything, that's kind of come down a little bit, but I still prefer, if I'm going to go out, I would rather go out with AJ or friends or both if AJ wants to go. Now, I have to be careful where we go with AJ and when it is, because if I take her to a busy mall, someone's going to get murdered because she does not do well in crowds. I also like to go shopping with AJ for a very particular reason. I will go overboard. I have been known to be a shopaholic. And AJ will 9 times out of 10 look at me and go, "Really, love? Do you really need that little piece of shit there? Is that really going to make you that much happier?" And the answer is usually no. So I don't leave with stuff that I'm going to end up having to give away and a maxed out credit card.
So when you have someone who's new to being transitioning,
yes,
male to female, what do you tell them? How do you get women's things without feeling like a creeper?
Well, the first way to do it is I tell people, and there's always counter arguments, and some people are going, our Twitter's going to blow up over this.
Sure.
I say, go to the internet, okay? Yeah, you can't judge sizes based on a picture or how something's going to fit you based on a picture. But here's the thing. 95% of online retailers have made returning items that are the wrong size just so freaking easy. It's usually 3 clicks, throw it back in the thing, and the mailman picks it up.
Well, now, see, this is where I'm a little different from Robin here. It's because I'm not buying used underwear offline. That's gross.
I'm not buying used underwear.
That's gross. You can't return underwear. If you buy underwear that's the wrong size, you ain't sending it back. You're throwing it away.
Well, you do a little more research, like, I don't know, measuring yourself before you buy underwear.
Oh, God. Measuring.
I know. Logic. You know.
Trial and error.
That's honestly how I started. I purchased things from that giant online retailer that we all know, but I'm not going to say the name because, yeah, they don't pay me to do so. But you all know what it is. And it's made it so easy that you can try different things. Now, underwear is going to be something that's completely its own topic when we're talking about this. For that,
I was
pre-measure. I know, but you did bring up a good point. Mm-hmm. And measure yourself on that because, yes, you can't return the panties once you put them on.
I've been transitioning since, what, June, I want to mm-hmm. say? Public, like officially. I still don't know how to shop for bras.
Well, that's hard, too. That's something I even cisgendered women don't even know. But what happened for me was, you know, I started slowly getting more and more comfortable. I recommend everybody go with a really close friend. If you're in a relationship, go with that person. Go with a supportive parent. Go with a sister, cousin, any other female influence that you trust as a start.
And if you're really, really uncomfortable, but you're also kind of nerdy, you know, if you present as nerdy, don't be afraid to just say, oh, I'm just buying these things because I'm a cosplayer and I need stuff for costumes.
Cosplay's a great reason.
Use any excuse you need to. You don't have to feel guilty, but if you do and you're trying to, if you are embarrassed, but you're trying not to, find ways to just kind of, you know, explain it away so no one will feel. I used to tell people I was a filmmaker and I was stocking up for my movies because I was.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing you can do is the old, I'm looking for my wife, my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. You can do that one too.
That's a good one. But going out the first time to buy these things is not easy. I mean, it is full of anxiety.
Now, when they ask you what's your girlfriend's measurements, don't give them yours.
Well, most of the retail guys and girls that work retail, they ain't gonna know shit. They're not. That's another thing. They're not paid to do that. So when I first went actual physical shopping, like brick and mortar stores, AJ went with me. Obviously, she goes with me pretty much all the time, because you know. I dress to impress AJ. I don't care about anybody else. I dress to impress AJ. And when I say to impress AJ, basically get her blood boiling. You know what I mean? I think you all do. And there's some people out there, including Stephanie, who are turning a little bit of a shade of red.
Suntan. I'm in Texas. The sun is on my face.
Yeah, sure. That's what it is. So when we first went out, AJ would watch me, okay? And AJ would watch and see what I would look at and gravitate towards. And she would pretend she was, you know, checking them out for herself. You know, and she would ask me what I thought about, you know, a shirt or a top or pants or anything. And she would hold them up in such a way that you really didn't know if she was trying them for herself or if she was trying to see me in them. But it's really, you know, it really helped me a lot. Now,
what I don't recommend
is
raiding your sister's slumber parties.
Yeah, don't do that. That's just
wrong. I don't know from experience, but I've seen some movies.
Now, see, when I went clothes shopping with AJ,
no, but actually, I was gonna say when I started out, I did a lot of stealing from Goodwill and places like that because I was just like grab it, throw it in my cart, hide it under something, and get the fuck out of the store.
I do not condone that behavior, but she has outgrown that behavior. Mm-hmm. So, but AJ and I have a very interesting advantage. And I know it keeps, there's a lot of you listening who don't have an AJ that'll help you. But AJ and I are not too far off on body size. And that's okay. So, you know, now people are asking, I know they're all screaming at their phones or whatever they're listening to this show on, going, but what if my friend is a size 4 and I'm going to end up being size 18 to 22? Well, here's the thing. Even if you go with a friend and you do it the exact same way I did it with AJ, you don't need to worry if the clothes look like they're going to be too big for your size 4 friend, because the employees of the store, as I said, are not paid enough to give a shit what size anybody's buying. All they're looking for is, hey, are you stealing it? And apparently, if you were at a Goodwill, you're not looking hard enough. And Stephanie just slinked back in her chair a little bit. You know I love you, right?
I believe in honesty.
And it's very.
And as a Catholic, I also believe in confessing your sins.
Well, and here's the other thing too that I want to make sure we point this out. The first time is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As you go, even me today, even when I go out with AJ or whoever I go out with, I still have anxiety over it. I will probably have anxiety for a long time. But that anxiety, every time I go, gets a little easier to deal with. And that's the thing. You will get comfortable doing it.
The very first time I ever bought anything for myself, for reals, like went into a store and bought something for myself, I went at 2 o'clock in the morning at a Walmart. Back was way before COVID. And I walked around the store with my phone, looking at my phone, you know, pretending to be doing Twitter or something, and just walked around the circles, putting things in my cart and putting things back on the shelf and just grabbing things and for 2 hours. And finally, I had walked around enough. I saw the thing I wanted. I just pushed my cart in, grabbed it, threw it in, threw a bunch of stuff on top of it, went and paid for everything, and got out of the store. But the self-checkout was shut down.
That is the scary thing. You actually have to face a cashier.
So I had to go do it the old-fashioned way, and they just swipe, throw in the back. Nobody asked me any questions.
Nope. Like
I
said,
didn't even say anything. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. She didn't even want to be there. She was just like, whatever.
That's right. They're not retail workers. And as a former retail worker who was in it for what, 20? Oh my God, I was in it for almost 30 years.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, indeed.
I did it for a while myself. I worked at a Sears. I worked at a Kmart. Oh my God, all the places I worked went out of business. No wonder Transpose is in trouble.
But as a form of retail worker, no retail worker is paid enough to care if that's going to fit you, if you're going to wear it, or if you're going to give it to your sister or whatever. But it does get easier. And I still admit, I still buy from that giant online retailer we all know, but I'm not going to say their name. They can send me a check and then I'll start saying their name. But until then, screw them, right? And by the way, Stephanie, is Walmart giving you a check?
They are not.
Oh, damn it.
Sorry.
Well, here we are. So, but yes, it's going to get easier. Absolutely.
I'm not afraid to admit it. I shop online. They're called the Big Bad Toy Store. You can shop, but they don't have to pay me to say that.
I go love there. Big Bad Toy Store. And it, I know there's some of you out there going, okay, are they talking about the same thing? Yes, this is not usual type of toy. And there's some of you that are going to be like, wait, did you get Stephanie to... No, she's still in the shallow end.
I will not comment on that. Shallow end.
Well, I mean...
I am a Virgo. I worship the goddess, the virgin.
Let's just say this. When Stephanie and I say, hey, I got something in my toy box, we're talking about two totally different things.
Although my newest toy, latest toy I did buy was a Freddy Krueger, and he likes to finger the girls in their sleep. Out.
I'm... My words have failed me.
If I can't make her speechless, I'm not doing my job.
On that note, I'm segueing into our next topic.
Yes, very much.
Something that's kind of important here.
Mm-hmm.
Steph's going to start us off on this topic, too.
And she's going to be very serious.
And this is a very serious. We're going to talk about complications from aging as a transgender individual.
And some of this is going to be kind of sort of tied into transitioning later in life, but that'll be its own thing someday.
Yeah,
we'll get deeper into it, but this is just sort of, there's a lot of things that go. So when I started thinking about this, 2018 was when I first started knowing I was going to transition and trying to figure, going through the steps behind the scenes, not telling people what I was going to do. And that was the summer, if you remember, of the royal wedding. And I really wanted to watch the royal wedding on TV, and my mom wanted to watch it too. So I was just like, yeah. And my excuse was, I'm excited. We won. We were invading the royal family. As Americans, we were, I mean, come on. Not only was, I mean, she's Hollywood royalty. This is like, this was a big deal for me. And I was watching this, the royal wedding, and I was looking at all these old women, these old British women. I'm talking like, they look like they're like 80 years old. And I got to thinking about how women don't age the same way men do. And I had just come to terms with the fact, I was embracing my, I had gray hairs at the time. Well, I still kind of sort of do, but I cover them up now. And I was embracing the fact that I'm going to grow old and have gray hairs. And I was like, you know what? I earned these gray hairs. But then I started realizing that in our society, women are treated differently than men. You know, which we trans women were way pretty well in tune to this because we got to see it from both worlds.
Yeah, like, duh, and both. Or hello.
And what I started thinking was, this thought entered my mind is like, I'm going to grow old as a woman. I'm going to be old and wrinkly and saggy, and I'm going to have like brittle bones and all. I was just thinking about all these things that old women, I'm like, well, I don't have to be all those things. But it got me to asking questions, you know. Transitioning is hard on our bodies because it is a second puberty, but it's, I want to be careful how I say this because I don't want to say it's an unnatural puberty because women do go through menopause.
Yeah.
So it, for us, it's when you're our age and older, it's like going through puberty, but it's also compared to going through menopause. So it's like a double whammy.
Yeah, it really is kind of like both.
And one of the things, though, is we're not – a lot of women, when they go through menopause, one of the things they do is they lose their fertility. Well, men who are transitioning to women, male to female, we're going to lose our fertility as well.
Right.
But a different way. I'm not losing my eggs. I'm losing my seed to plant in the eggs. And so
can use medical terms on this show. We are not above that.
Anyways, I will tell you why I can't do that if you want to, but not this episode.
No. Okay. Moving on.
But anyways, I got to thinking about that and I was like, okay, trans women, I started looking at the Wachowskis. They're famous, right? These are rich women. These are women with money. These are women with presumably good insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm noticing like, yeah, they pass for a trans woman, but they don't try to look ultra feminine. They don't look like ultra feminine. And I thought, am I going to ever be able to be feminine? Like truly feminine? But then I see young trans women who transition and they look gorgeous. They just look like girls. They look like girls. You wouldn't know the difference if they didn't tell you. And so that was a part of one of the things that was on my mind. And I'm not saying you have to pass, but I was saying, you know, you can kind, I was feeling, this is where I was going with this. I was feeling I'm going to age as an old woman, but I'm not going to look like, I'm never going to get to look like a young woman. And that almost prevented me from transitioning because I was like, well, I'd rather just age as a guy because then I can do so gracefully and not be judged by society and then just hate myself for being an ugly dude.
Yeah, see, I think I would rather just skip the part of the hating myself.
Well, it took me a while to get there.
Yeah. And you're doing great.
And there's other things like, you know, Robin's going to take over the medical stuff because she's more versed in this. But well, I wanted to share that part of it and kind of put out there what went through my, because it did weigh on my mind. I almost didn't transition because of that. But then I looked at my mom and I saw my mom 53 years old and I'm like, you know, she's still a beautiful woman.
Of course.
So I want to reevaluate internally. I want to reevaluate my own stigmas related to elderly women in their 40s and up, much as 40 isn't elderly, but I mean, as we age, and also try to do my part to bust other gender stereotypes and things. But there are health complications. I'm going to let Robin handle that.
There are a lot of health complications. And as far as the difference between someone who transitions in their 20s, as opposed to us who do it a little later in life, I'm not going to give away my age.
No.
We have a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Girls like me and you have a disadvantage because we don't...
Well, our shoulders have already broadened.
Well, we've gone
through
a lot.
Our voices have already deepened. Our hips will never widen. So we have that. We have the square. We're not going to get an hourglass.
Well...
Not without, like,
breaking
bones.
I mean, you can. It's just going to be a lot harder. The effects of things such as estrogen on our bodies as opposed to a 20-year-old's bodies, it just processes differently in ours. And I know several women I have talked to, trans women, who they have that, I'm using air quotes and you can't see it, banging body. But it, instead of it coming to them in 4 years, it took them 8. You know? Then you have people like me who are an anomaly. And I've got... I've got progress in areas I shouldn't have at this stage in the game. And I'm missing progress in stages I should. Okay? I'm not going to go into the details. But
no.
That's what it is. Medically... Yeah, transitioning is super hard on our bodies because we're putting a lot of things into it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on hormone therapy via pills, you know, that's a difficult thing because it doesn't matter what pill you're taking, prescription, vitamin, whatever, those are broken down and those go through your liver. So that's always hard. That's why there's some people who are on the bandwagon of injections are better because they don't give as much stress to the body. Now, I did a little research on like medical conditions and how trans individuals are affected at later stages of their life. But I found something very interesting. There's not a lot of research on older, and we're going to say, 50 and over, trans individuals and any additional complications. All trans individuals, especially those of us on hormones, we have an increased risk of cardiovascular events, stroke, blood clots, heart attacks. That definitely is also something that's affected by age. So those risks continue to go up. I did find a couple of studies that did say as we get older, the trans women are a little more susceptible to different cancers. Now, as to what those different cancers are, the study didn't have it because, you know, why give me everything I need? Like, I can't even read it.
I was told that trans women are more at risk for breast cancer.
We are. But as you age, those risks go up because so are elderly women or older women. So that's a big thing. Now, there was a couple of things that when I asked what are the complications of transitioning, there are some things that came up that I kind of can see how this is, but if you're at a certain stage in your life, I don't see them being as big a deal. If you're 50 or older, I don't see these things being a bigger deal because you're at that age. And I don't always agree with this, but I do see the evidence. The health risks, and yes, I just used air quotes again, for trans individuals, especially trans women, these aren't really medical, are psychological risks such as depression, increase in alcohol, tobacco, and drug usage or dependency even.
And this is very not wrong. I've started drinking a lot more wine lately than
I know. I want to tell you to stop sometimes, but you know, risky behavior that can lead to things such as it leads to stuff like STDs. The last one I don't know is one was that a study pointed out that trans individuals have a higher risk of physical, psychological, and sexual abuse. But I don't really see that as a medical thing. I think that's more of a societal issue.
Well, now you're just picking on me.
I'm not. I swear, I'm not. This is what the research.
No, but I understand it because I want to chime in. This is. She's not wrong. This is real because I remember when I was considering transitioning, I was lying in bed and I was imagining what it would be like to have a vagina. We'll say, and I remember thinking, I'm gonna totally be a slut. And I'm gonna rock this thing, even though I knew better.
See,
and a lot of trans women go through that. They do go through that. They got the tool. They want to use it.
That's right. And it a lot of trans women also think it's okay now that after, especially post GRS. You know, you've been on HRT, you're on GRS, or you've done GRS, I should say, because you're not on it. It's recovery. It's surgery and then recovery. So, they feel like they got to make up for lost time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. Take it from me, who is, as I tell Stephanie a lot, I am not a role model when it comes to sex. I am a cautionary tale.
And her little sister is just listening to her tales thinking, but I want to do that.
Trust me, it seemed fun at the time. Some of it, not so much. Some of it, you turn around and you go, oh, God, wait, what did I do? So, I think...
Future episode.
For trans women, as we get older, and when I say older, we're going to start saying, like, over 50. Because that's usually when both genders, male and female, your doctors start telling you, okay, well, you need to get checked for these things or that thing. I think what we need to be aware of is that... we need to keep an eye on our health because we have kind of a double whammy when it comes to risks because we start with aging and being transgender. And this is something for those of you who are younger than 30 that are transitioning or have transitioned, this is something for you too to keep in mind. Keep in mind that... You need to keep your health checked. And I'm not going to just say that from a transition standpoint. I'm also going to throw in my current situation like we talked about at the top of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Keep an eye on your health. People want you around.
Well, I mean, we can talk about my thing, but the doctors haven't figured out what it is yet, and that's another thing that scares me.
Well, because medical science has only gone so far.
They've been testing my blood since September, and they still can't figure out what's wrong.
But one day they will. They'll figure it out. Now, I want to say all this data and stuff that I researched. I do want to put in there this little caveat disclaimer thing, whatever you want to call it. I did notice when you start looking at percentages, and these all have different percentages. They're at this percentage of higher risk. There is a lot of fluctuation from study to study, which means two things. One, more studies are needed. And two, it's up to us. If you don't feel right, go see your doctor. And that's where we're at. You've got to take your health seriously. You got to be more aware when you don't feel right. Because, like I said, we want you around. You're part of the community. We all got to stick together. And you know what? Who knows? If you can, sign up for a study. I know that's probably a bad idea because, you know, I'm trying not to make us sound like lab rats. But we need to know. Because those of you who are 20 now, you're going to be 50. And there's going to be people transitioning who are going to be in their 20s. And guess what, brothers and sisters? They're going to look up to you. Why? You've gone through this. You know what to do. So definitely keep an eye on your health. keep an eye on your health. Do it. If you don't do it for yourself, do it for me. Do it for me. I made a lot of mistakes, and that's okay. It's all right. So, yeah. So just definitely get yourself checked on everything. And if you are over 50, the odds of you having increased risks towards bad behavior, I think you pretty much got it figured out by now. If not, I will gladly come to your residence. And when you have that, and you think you're going to do something risky, I will gladly smack you in the hand with a spoon.
And I can affirm that she is not lying.
I will do it. I have done it several times. Not just to Stephanie. I've done it to other individuals, William. But that's what it is. And we just have to keep going. Now, that was a heavy topic.
It was.
It was a very heavy topic.
And I wanted to point out, I was not being funny there. The doctors really are having a hard time finding out what's wrong with whatever is going on.
Yeah, that's not a joke. She's got something, but as I said, medical science has only gotten us so far.
Yeah.
I mean...
And it's one of those things that, based on what the doctors told me, it could be one thing, or it could be something else. It could be three other things.
Yeah.
None of which are things I want it to be.
But they'll figure it out.
So
let's move in to a super light topic. Fun topic. One we missed last week.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready for this? That's right. What the hell did it just do?
She hasn't learned the buttons yet.
Oh. Let's get into this week's top five, shall we?
Yeah. But before we jump in, because you know we like to give a shout out to our friend the Blibbles over at Twitch.
Hang on, I gotta shut everything off because it's gone crazy. I know. Here, I said we're going to be so freaking. And
there we go.
There we are.
So we are going to get away from previewing future episodes, topics, and things. But we are going to have a guest soon.
We're going to have a couple of them if we can get them lined up right.
But the Blibbles, he's
agreed.
Yes,
we're going to have Sebastian.
He's going to be on our show next week. And we're excited for that.
Yes.
Because he has been shouting out us on his Twitch stream. He's been telling people to check us out. And he's got a link to us to give his audience a heads up. He likes to support trans people. And in, 2 days? It's going to be Trans Day of Visibility.
Uh-huh.
And so we're going to do our part to showcase other trans people as well, as much as we can. So we like to tell people to check out his streams, you know, right before we do our top fives. And this is a good week to be telling you that because first
we're
of all,
have it.
He's going to be on the show. And I went over to his stream and we chatted for a bit. So if you check out his stream, you might get more bonus Robin and Stephanie time.
Ooh.
From time to time.
And before you, everybody asks, oh yes, they are definitely my kind of people.
Mm.
Mildly inappropriate.
Unfiltered.
And I, for one...
That's where I thrive.
Sebastian, if you're listening, I am so freaking excited to have you on the show. We did a Twitch stream with him, and even though on our end it was a complete train wreck and we didn't have a clue what we were doing, we both had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of fun. But yes, next week, Sebastian the Blibbles will be with us. We'll be talking probably something pretty good.
Our Twitter followers, you help us decide every week what our top five topic's going to be. I'll put a tweet out, usually on, I'm going to say, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, somewhere in there. And by Friday, we'll have it closed up. We'll have a Twitter poll.
Yes, because Mama needs time to actually think.
And you'll get to help us pick our top five. Robin, tell them what they picked this week, or do you want me to read the tweet first?
No, don't read the tweet.
Good,
first.
Just tell them what they picked. Who what topic won this week's top five?
The Twitterverse, our Twitter fam, picked Dream Vacations.
Yay. And this was actually suggested by none other than the AJ.
AJ's. This is AJ's topic. Yes.
So
hey,
I
love you, AJ. I really do. I know you listen to the show, so I love you, my dear. So why don't we start off like we always do, Miss Stephanie, and what is your number five?
So I originally read this as something else, as I often do, because my mind wanders.
There's a shocker.
But as I wrote the list and we started talking. I don't know, I was sitting here earlier in the show and I was playing with my bracelets and I wanted to say, Robin, I forgot my fidget thingy bobber. And she was giving me the stink eye like, God damn it. I'm just kidding. Anyways, yeah. So my number five is Dream Vacations. So my number five is actually Robin's done this cheating bullshit in the past, so I'm going to go ahead and cheat. It's a tie between two cities because I can't decide which one I want to go to more.
Spoiler alert, I did that again in this one.
So it's a tie, and there's a reason why it's a tie. It's a tie between Germany, and I'm not going to be specific. When I say Germany, I mean I want to see the whole country. I want to see as much of it as I can. But also London, England. And that's just specific to London. I don't need to see the rest of the country, just the city. I want to go see the touristy stuff. But the reason why I picked both of these is because, you know, if you do it right, you can do it in the same vacation.
That's very true.
But I have pretty heavy Germanic heritage. Majority of my ancestry is German. And so I want to go see the land that my people are from. But also some of us are Celtic, and, well, we don't need to go see the sad Celtic Ireland, because, you know, that's, well, I want to see Ireland, but I want to see London. It's like, it's kind of weird, like, but I only want to see the, like I said, I only want to see the, I want to see the touristy sites, but I really want to see the cathedrals and the, like, you know, like the church stuff, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
Same thing with Germany, because, you know, as a Catholic, former Protestant, you know, the rift in our religion started in Germany and really took off in England.
Right. It sure did. Well, that's kind of interesting that you're going to start off with those two. For me, Germany would be on a top 10 list. Simply because I'm a big history buff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my major knowledge bases is the Second World War. And I honestly would love to go to a lot of places there just to see some historical things there. My number five actually is France, for the same reasons, for history. Plus, I love museums, and France has some of the best out there. It has some really nice ones. I don't speak a lick of French other than French fries, French toast. That's it.
I was going to say French gymnastics, but that's in the bedroom.
But I do actually have some friends from
French
from France.
No, you said French toast. Did you say, what was the other one?
French fries.
Isn't there a third one?
I don't know.
France, you suck. You're only known for two things. I had to get my jab in.
But I have friends over there. One of them who's happened to be named Stephanie as well.
Of course.
You know.
It's a very sexy name.
it's a very fun name. I'll
it
say
is.
That.
Yes, it is.
That's why I picked it. But France is where I would like to go. Lots
Any
of
Any place
history.
In particular, or just the country as a whole?
I mean, the country as a whole. I mean, I definitely would love to go to, again, because of the history, Normandy, Pas-de-Calais, of course, Paris. You gotta go see Paris. That's where all the museums are.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of places I would love to go see. I'd love to go see the whole country. But
and the
I
giant
had
radio
to,
antenna that everybody loves.
There is that giant radio antenna that you can walk up to, and then I believe they say still your hair kind of frizzes out when you get towards the top, which is cool. So, that's my number five. What's your number four?
So my number four is going to be kind of similar along the same kind of thinking. And Yeah, like she wouldn't put Germany in her top five. I couldn't put France in my top five either, because the only thing I want to see in France is the Notre Dame Cathedral. That's it. I don't want to see anything else in France because, you know, they lost all the wow. I'm just kidding. I'm not really. I don't give a shit. Anyways, my number four was actually Rome, and that is very heavily for multiple reasons. One, history. Two, I'm a Catholic. Three, even if I weren't a Catholic, Christianity has a big presence in Rome. And four, I love the Roman, like, the old Roman pantheon and the whole, you know, the gods and everything. Yeah, the Greeks are more known, but the Roman pantheon was more, you know, it's more rooted in Western literature, I think.
It is.
Even though it's not as, the gods aren't as well known, because most people know the Greek versions of the same gods.
Right.
But it had a big influence on Western culture. It was, I guess, as the Greeks did too. But I want to go see all of it. I want to go see the whole city, everything, Rome.
That would be fun.
I would love to
that
see
Rome.
That would
really be fun.
That would be the kind of vacation I would go on if I had somebody to go with, though. I don't know if I could do that one by myself. I could go see Germany by myself or with friends. I could probably go see London by myself or with friends. But Rome, I want to go with somebody.
So, okay, yeah.
Somebody romantic, I ought to say.
Yeah. Well, that'll happen one day. So my number four might surprise you here. Mm-hmm. I would like to go, and this is my tie, to Ireland and the United Kingdom. And when I say that, I would like to go to Scotland as well, all of Britain. I'd love to see some different places around Britain. You know, not just London. Mm-hmm. But I would really love to just go see those three areas, those three countries, I guess. Scotland's its own.
You didn't mention Wales. Nobody goes
Wales.
To see Wales.
Nobody goes
the
to
Welsh
Wales.
Don't even care about Wales.
Oh, I really wish a friend of mine was close by, because I could ask him, what do you think about the Welsh? And he could just go, ugh. But he's Welsh, so that's what's funny. But that's what, I mean, again, it has to do with history and mm-hmm. museums. And Ireland to me, and even parts of Scotland, are kind of gorgeous. And I just would love the whole stay in a cabin, a little Irish or Scottish cottage for a night or two.
Or a castle.
No, because then I think that's going to draw out some...
They're probably haunted, but that's okay.
Well, I was going to say some probably bad behavior, like I would like try to find somebody to behead or something. I don't know. But anyway, what's your number three?
So my number three, I'm a big gamer nerd and I'm a big techie. I love computers and I love everything like just robotic and geeky related. And when I was in college, I studied Japanese, the language, and I would love to go to Japan. Now, I don't want to go just... to Tokyo. I would love to go see Kyoto, and the reason I want to see that place is because it's the headquarters of Nintendo, and I want to go see the countryside. Oh, I want to go see all of it.
Always with Nintendo with you.
I love Nintendo. And so I want to, you know, I want to go, I just want to see all of the, you know, all of the cool arcades. I want to go see all the cool, you know, like the Harajuku stuff. I want to go see all the Akihabara, all of it, everything. I want to go see like grown men dressed like Sailor Moon, and it's okay. And not trans people either, just dudes who dress like Sailor Moon.
I mean, yeah, I get that. That's
no,
that's
I just love.
Good.
I'm not trying to stereotype. I love Japanese culture, and I think it's so cool. And I would love to visit Japan. I was watching Lost in Translation a while back, and I just felt in love with that movie because I was like, I would totally love to just go live in Japan. At the time, I was working for a TV station. I thought it would be so cool to go work as a producer at a TV station in Japan. Because they have the fun shows over there.
You know what? Back in my ring days, I thought about that too, because that's a big thing. But okay. Yeah. All right. My number three is probably the only city that I have on here.
Okay.
And it's Prague. I want to go to Prague. I'm Czech by descendants.
Okay.
People say you can tell that I'm Czech descendant because I'm paranoid as fuck. And that's true. I don't trust anybody. Pick up a history book and find why. It's built into a Czech damn DNA. But I'd always wanted to go see it. I know they have a big art scene. It's a very mixed city. It's very... God, I can't even think of the word. There's a lot of modern and a lot of antique and a lot of historic. And it's just a giant mixture of the whole of all of it. And, you know, I want to explore where my peeps come from. And I would love to just go to Prague. I'm sure there's probably a couple of other places within the Czech Republic I would like to go.
Once you cross the street, you're in another country, so you got to be careful.
That's true. That's it's true. Kind of small. Or your suddenly that town is now owned by somebody else. You know, yeah. It was
they lost it in a game of cards. Or something.
It was Czech when we landed. Oh, now it's Portuguese. What the fuck are they doing out here? All right, what's your number two, Steph?
So I actually picked Ireland for my number two, and I'm part Irish, actually pretty heavy Irish, and I even studied Gaelic for a while. I want to learn the language because I love it. I'm so passionate about my Celtic heritage, and the people, and the that's one of the reasons why I want to be a witch, because I'm so drawn to that whole Celtic theme, and I want to see both. I want to go visit both parts of Ireland, Northern Ireland, which is in the UK, and the Republic of Ireland, which is its own country, which is trying its hardest to unite, but, you know, the forces that be won't let them. But I want to go stay in some little Gaelic community where they don't speak a word of English, and then just walk around and buy, like, all those funky breads and shrimps and potatoes and drink all kinds of alcohols.
And wear the wool sweaters that are so thick that the boniest fingered nuns
and
can't
I just
even
wanna
bother
see,
you.
I want to see. I want to go. I mean, I would love to live in Ireland, but I want to go see the whole country. Now, I don't want to see. I don't want to spend. I would rather spend more time in the Republic versus in, you know, the counties that belong to the British. But I'd still like to see, you know, the Ulster part of Ireland.
Yeah,
get to see it, check it out.
It just the country as a whole is just gorgeous, or I should say, the island as a whole.
Right.
It's and, because it is technically two different countries, mm-hmm. but Ireland is just gorgeous.
And go see the birthplace of the Titanic.
Wow, that's sad.
Talk about history. Hey, the birthplace, not his resting place.
Oh, that's true. Okay, so my number two, it's funny is how many of these things we have lined up.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is Japan.
Ah.
And like you, I don't want to just go to Tokyo. I don't want to just go to Kyoto. I want to see as much of the Japanese islands as I can. I love their culture as well. I think their culture is extremely diverse. There's also a ton of history. And there's other things that, you know... connect back to my past. Yeah, I do like video games. Yes. Hey, I admit it. I'm a Gundam girl. You can't see it because we're on podcast and not video, but there is a shit ton of Gundams sitting right behind me.
Mm-hmm. I can see them all staring at me.
And I love them to death. I love some anime. I don't get really deep into the anime.
Not one I'm trying to get her to watch, but she's resisting.
Of course, because you want me to watch it. That's why. Well, but there's also one thing from my past, and I kind of just quickly mentioned it while you were talking about Japan, was my days in wrestling and pro wrestling, which were very limited, unfortunately, and I should have stuck with it, but, you know, it is what it is. That is a huge place, and the scene for that is so much different than it is here, and I would just love to go... I'd love to go watch an event, you know, New Japan or anything like that. Just go watch a wrestling event. You know, I thought there for a little while, I almost, you know, when I was doing it, I thought, well, maybe I could go to Japan. Maybe I ought to try to. I think things would be so much different for us right now. I don't think we'd be doing this had I done that. So... But that's my number two. All right, Steph, what is your number one?
This is the only one that I put down that isn't in a foreign country. And this is the place I want to see, I want to visit the most in probably in the world. and I want to go. I've never been there, but I want to go to Disney World. And this isn't just a dream vacation. This is a destination I intend to make happen. But I don't want to go by my. I don't want to just get in a car and take a road trip to Disneyland. I want to go with my family, and I don't care if that's my blood family or if it's Robin and my extended family or who goes with me or takes me. But I want to go see Disney World, not Disneyland, Disney World. I know Disneyland's got more history, but I just, it's, they say it's like the happiest place on earth. Well, I want to go get some happy in my life a little bit. Just go see all the sights, ride the rides, eat all the cotton candy and the popcorn and the junk food and throw it all up on the roller coaster.
Absolutely. That's always fun.
And I've just never been to Disneyland. Now, all these other ones, they're, or Disney World, I should say. I've never been to Disneyland either. I haven't been to too many theme parks, to tell you the truth, or, you know, amusement parks, whatever you want to call them.
Ooh, we got to change that.
But it's like, you know, I'm not a big giant fan of Disney, but I do recognize, I mean, I like some Disney stuff, but I recognize the importance of Disney World, you know? And I'm not saying I wouldn't want to also go see, like, you know, Orlando and, you know, Universal Cities and all that cool stuff, but it just feels like something that I, and I know I'm making it out of my mind to be like this thing, it's bigger than it probably ought to be, but I really want to go see Disney World.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good thing. I mean, that would be a fun place to go, for sure. So, okay, well, all right, then I guess my number one, huh? So, I don't really have a particular destination, more of a region. I'd just like to one day go to somewhere in the Caribbean, you know, nice beaches, you know, blue water, just, you know, one of those true dream vacations, you know, alcoholic beverages and bikini, why not? I could do it. Well, I mean, in a few years I could, but not now. But that's where I want to go. I don't know, place really in particular, I don't think. I mean, any of them would be nice.
Tortuga? No, just kidding.
Nobody goes to Tortuga.
Okay, good.
I seen that movie. Uh-uh.
That goes back to Disney just a little bit.
But that's it. That's this week's top five. I know. I'm loving that button.
Play with the buttons.
I love playing with it.
And push the baby button again. No, I'm just kidding.
No, screw that noise. So, yeah, well, that was our
show.
Our top five, and that's our show for this week.
So,
thank you, everybody. Like we always do, we want to thank you for listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
We want to thank you all, like I said at the beginning of the show, for your patience, for your understanding, for your support. We are making big time strides when it comes to this. To this show. This is important to us, and we're going to make the best show we can for you. So we thank you all. As always, you can find us on Twitter at TransposePod. Same with Facebook at TransposePod. You can email us at TransposePod@gmail.com. Mm. And we're working on Patreon.
Well, we got some stuff in the works. Yes, we got a Patreon. We do have a YouTube, but we haven't done anything with it yet, but it exists, and we can't say any more than that.
That's right. So this will actually hit the airwaves Tuesday, which is technically the day after my birthday. But why don't you, everybody, just do what I'm doing? We're going to celebrate the birthday week, and everybody go out and get the schnicket, okay? Do it for your girl, Robin, okay?
Yes.
Drink
them alcohols.
That's what I said in Yiddish. Anyway, I am the fabulous and incredible Robin Allura, and with me usually, as always, the retro witch herself, Stephanie Bree. Fabulous and wonderful as always. And we will see everybody next week. Take care.
Yep.